Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. We hope you enjoyed this message.
Well, it's good to see you, KCC family, here on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. And I'm excited to share today's word, but if I'm honest, it hasn't always been the case. I haven't been a pastor for too long, but without a doubt, these past 24 hours have been the toughest in my life as a pastor. Just the emotional attack and spiritual attack from the enemy has just been overwhelming at times. You know, I said early in the earlier service, I even, you know, if I'm honest, there was a point last night where I couldn't sleep that I actually prayed to God that I wouldn't have to preach today. Because knowing what I'm going to share is not easy, and I knew the enemy was attacking me. But I remembered something that I have been reading during this time in quarantine, and it talked about how when you look back at all of the examples of people that God used in the Old Testament, it never was the case where he took the talent that they had and used it to glorify him. Instead, he took what they lacked, and he chose them and then equipped them to do his work. And even though I had these feelings and doubts and fears, I knew that if I trusted in God, that he would give me the strength to do this today. So I'm happy to share this word, even though it hasn't been a fun journey, but I know that the enemy does not want me to share this today. But trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit, we will indeed do that, because that is what God wants. So we've been through this series called Transforming Community, and we've looked at different aspects of community, what it looks like, the positives of it. But today, I feel as we wrap up, this is the most important topic when it comes to transform a community, and that is authentic community. See, we cannot aspire to have a community that transforms the world around us unless we are able to be authentic, or else it will fall flat and will not succeed. Today, I want to talk about us striving to be an authentic community and not a conditional community. An authentic community is real with one another about what the mission is and the ups and downs, the tough times that get in the way of us achieving that. But a conditional community is one where we set the standards and we expect God to meet us where they are, or else we go about our day. It reminds me of the movie Remember the Titans, one of the greatest football movies ever made. Right? The premise was that this school was taking on the challenge of integrating with blacks and whites, and not only in the school, but also in their football team. And what's funny is that on the outside, they all went to the same school. They played for the same team. They wore the same team colors. But in the beginning, they were not an authentic team. There was not an authentic community. In the beginning, as they came together, it very much was the blacks will take care of the blacks and the whites will take care of the whites. And somehow we'll come together and we'll win football games. But that was not the case. They realized that they couldn't lie to themselves. They needed to be authentic or else it would not work. And that community is what they developed. So we strive to be an authentic church and have authentic community. Our text for today is from Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. We've read this many times in this series, and this is what it says. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all and as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Now, if you ask any pastor who leads a church, what kind of church do you want yours to be? They usually always say, I want an Acts 2 church. I want a church that reflects the one in Acts in chapter 2 that shows that they were breaking bread together and they were giving for each other's needs and they needed nothing. They all had, everything was answered within their community. This is what they strive for. This is the ideal blueprint of what a church looks like. But church, this is not something that can be achieved without having authentic community. You know, it gets to the point where we've even heard a lot of pastors say sometimes that this idea of authentic community or having this Acts 2 church, it was very limited in that scope at that time that it worked. But for now, it's harder than ever. You know, here at KCC, the reason why we strive to be a multi-ethnic church is we remember that image that John saw in Revelation of the multitude of every nation, tribe, and tongue. And we say we believe that that is not just something that happens when we're dead in heaven, but it's something that we can live out now here on earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. But for a lot of people, it's just a pipe dream. They say it's not something that can be done here on earth. It's too difficult. There are too many problems. Sin is too much of an obstacle to get in the way. It is only when we are in heaven and we are made perfect, that is when we can have that perfect unity. Now, I do admit that it is easier to achieve in heaven, absolutely. But I think we do ourselves a disservice when we lie to ourselves and think that it cannot happen here on earth. We understand that it is righteous of us to live this truth out in our own church and in our DNA, that we believe that we can strive to reflect that church in Revelation. But it only happens when we are an authentic community. So today I just want to touch on three challenges that I think prevents us and can hinder us from having an authentic community and instead having a conditional one. The first challenge is this: we need to have authentic people. As Christians, we ourselves have to be authentic in order to have an authentic community. Oftentimes, we hear that charge about authentic community, and we get on board, and we say, yeah, I like that. I want to have an authentic community, but we don't address the issues in our own selves. We say that I want our church to be honest and open, but I want to hide things and hide my sins and the things that I struggle with and the way that I feel about issues. I want to keep those balled up inside, but I want an authentic church. It doesn't work that way, family. We have to be willing to be authentic in ourselves before we could ever hope to show what an authentic community looks to the world around us. You know, a mentor of mine once said that before God works through you, he needs to work in you. And that's so true when it comes to being authentic. We cannot sit up here and expect that God is going to bless our church and lead us down a path of authenticity when we still have issues in our own hearts that we're not dealing with. We trust that the Holy Spirit will bring those to light so that we can wrestle with those issues so that we can be an authentic community. If it's something we truly seek, something we actually want as a church, we have to understand that it will not be easy. There will be challenges in the way. But we must believe that it is worth it, and worth it indeed. The second challenge that we face after having being authentic people is having authentic relationships. This requires the help of the Holy Spirit. Our flesh only wants to engage with people that look like us, sound like us, think like us, and live the way that we do. Because it's easy, it's comfortable. We don't have to put in work. It's easy for us to engage with those people and to connect because we're so similar. The work comes when we have to go out of our comfort zone and stretch ourselves and maybe make ourselves look foolish sometimes and say dumb things in order to get it right and understand the way that other people live. But that is the authentic way about it. If we want to have authentic relationships, we need to be vulnerable. We cannot just be a people who wants to be the people that look and sound like us, but yet we still want to have authentic community in a multi-ethnic church. It doesn't work that way. Now, I'm not saying that we have to put on a fake facade and pretend that we're friends with everyone that doesn't look like us or think like us. That's not what I'm saying, but we are called to love one another. But ask yourself, are you really pursuing authentic relationships in the church? Are you really stretching yourself to be with those who aren't similar to you, or are you taking the easy road out? I think the problem with this is that if we're not careful, if we say that we want to be an authentic church, we want to have authentic relationships, but we still don't stretch ourselves and actually pursue that, what happens is we create these holy huddles within the church that even though we are a multi-ethnic church who has a multi-ethnic vision, we still end up being segregated within the church. The blacks over there, the whites over there, the Hispanics over there, the Asians over there, so on and so forth. That even though we have this label as a multi-ethnic church, we don't actually seek authentic multicultural relationships. Church, that's not being authentic. That is a conditional community. As long as you think, look, and act and feel the same way that I do, we can be friends. But if not, maybe my circle just isn't for you. Maybe you need to find people who act like you, who think like you do. and we'll get along just fine. Church, that is not what an authentic community looks like in a multi-ethnic church. We stretch ourselves and we sacrifice so others can gain. The term I use when it comes to this is, what is your giving up limit? And what I mean is that as a multi-ethnic church, we understand that to truly engage cross-culturally and have everyone in worship in the same realm that we want to be in, it requires us to give up things so other people can gain things. We give a little and we take a little. That is what it involves. So often we come to church and think the church's job is to serve me the way that I want, to do the songs that I like, the prayers that I want, the messages that I want to hear. It's about filling me up. We have that ego-centered view of church when that's not what God ordained it to be in the first place. But when it comes to a multi-ethnic church, an authentic community, we understand that we give up preferences so that others may feel the love that by showing them that we acknowledge their preferences. But when I say the term giving up limit, what I mean is this. What are you willing to give up in the church before you've had enough? Maybe you'll say, yeah, I'll give up a few songs, maybe a message style, but I won't give up this other thing. And if they touch that, then that's when I draw the line. That's when I have a problem with the church. We all have a giving up limit. But what I ask of you today is that you take that limit to God, and I pray that you ask him to stretch it. Because the more that we give, the more that others can receive. The more that we give up, the more that we can bless them with. And I know the common thing I hear in this is Pastor, that's not fair that I'm giving up everything. It's not that you're the only one giving up something. We all are giving up something, but we're also gaining as well. That is what a true multi-ethnic, authentic community looks like. We understand that as we give, others people receive, and as they give up things, we receive them as well. You know, a few weeks back, me and my wife had the opportunity to lead worship at the Wyoming campus. And we're excited to do that because it's not something we've done before as far as on the weekend. So we were recording the songs, and for those of you who don't know, my wife grew up in Mexico. So we thought it was a cool idea to do one of her favorite Hispanic worship songs growing up. And we were like, you know, we don't just want to do it the normal way. We want to do it in a different way. So we chose to do the whole song in Spanish with no English at all, just subtitles. And we were recording it, and we were excited about it. But I kept wondering back in my mind, what is the congregation going to feel come the weekend? How are they going to react and respond? And as we sent it out, I was getting kind of nervous. They're going to be like, man, you should have gave us a heads up, or you threw us off guard. This is not what we're used to. So Sunday comes, and we get to that part of the service, and that song plays. And then I begin to see comments saying, thank you. This was so awesome. Thank you for giving us something different. And the ironic thing is that it wasn't coming from the Latino community within our church. It was the black people and the white people who were saying thank you. And it's because they understood that this little bit that they were giving up, that it was blessing their brothers and sisters in Christ in a way that they couldn't imagine. That just something so simple as singing an authentic song in their own language could draw them in closer in their worship with God. That gave me hope because, church, that is what it looks like to have an authentic relationship within a multi-ethnic church. That we understand it's not just about us, but just as much as I want to engage with God, I want my brother and sister to be able to do the same in whatever way that looks like. And as we do that, we grow closer together in our relationships, not just in our worship. So just because authentic community is the model for the church, that doesn't mean that everyone is necessarily on board. And that's where the challenge is. And the reality is that even in the Acts 2 church, as perfect as it was, people were coming to faith every day, the numbers were growing tremendously, and there was this unity, it still wasn't a perfect church. They still had issues. We see one of those issues in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, where it says, in those days, as the disciples were increasing in number, there arose a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. And this is the way that David Guzik puts it. He says, Hebrews tended to regard Hellenists as unspiritual compromisers with Greek culture, and Hellenists regarded Hebrews as holier-than-thou traditionalists. There was already a natural suspicion between the two groups, and Satan tried to take advantage of that standing suspicion. So you're saying Satan wasn't able to attack the church from the outside, so he decided to try a different approach and do it from the inside. He knew there was already tension between these two groups who were both professing Christians, and he wanted to use that to divide them. They weren't perfect, but what mattered was the way that they handled the situation. And how true is that even in our church today? That even though we come to KCC and we believe in what we're doing and what's going on, this multi-ethnic vision, but there's still tension that arises. There's those underlying areas that we don't address. And if we're not careful, it can create incidences like this in Acts chapter 6, where people are being diminished and not prioritized because of things that have nothing to do with the body of Christ, but that enemy uses as a foothold to attack the church. That's not the way we should be. We should seek authentic relationships. But another key aspect of authentic relationships in our church is it can't be something that only happens in church only. A true relationship with someone is not something that we just spend with someone while we're in the doors of the church, but outside as well. You know, the great comedian Chris Rock once said this in one of his specials. He said, "Ladies, if your boyfriend has not introduced you to his friends, you're really not his girlfriend." And the point that he was making was that actions speak louder than words. He can call you what he wants. He can buy you things. But you are not meeting the people who mean the most to him. What does that tell you he thinks of you? And when I hear that, I can't help but thinking that that relates to the church today. We say that we have friends in the church, people that we hang with, but how often do we spend time with them outside of these walls? Have they met our family? Have they met our other friends? Or are they that friend that we act like we're ashamed of and we keep closed in the walls of the church? I would challenge you today that if you have friends like that here in the church, they're not really your friends. They're conditional friends. The condition is, as long as you attend my church, we're cool. But the second you leave, I forget about you. Think of those people that you engage with on a weekly basis here in the church. The people that, especially the ones that don't look like you or speak like you or think like you. If they left this church, would you ever talk to them again? Would you actually go out of your way and do the work to engage with them, to invite them out for a meal, to have them over to your home? I think it's something we really have to wrestle with, because if we're not comfortable, we get in this comfort zone where, oh yes, we have multi-ethnic relationships. I have great friends, but yet we never see them outside of the church. How can we be honest with ourselves and say that that is an authentic relationship when indeed it is a conditional one? And the condition is, as long as it is within the walls of the church. So I ask you, church, do you have those kind of relationships? Are you actually seeking true, authentic relationships with people, or just something that looks good on the outside so that you can say, I am one of those. I have those type of friends. This really affected me this week when I was thinking about it, because earlier on when me and my wife were first married, there was a couple that we really got along with in the church. And it was awesome, because they really resonated with us because we were so similar. We both were in multi-ethnic relationships. We both had our daughters around the same time. We had the same likes and dislikes. Both of our wives had different cultural backgrounds. So we really clicked. But then as time went on, we found out that they started to have an issue with the idea of women in leadership in the church. And that was so big of an issue for them that they decided to leave KCC. And I remember I was hurt about it, that's what would drive them away. But this week, as I was preparing for this message, I couldn't help but lament the fact that I haven't talked to them in over 3 years. And why not? Because they decided to go to a different church? We still had the same likes and the same dislikes. We still had that connection. But yet, because I did not see them on a weekend basis, I did not take that step to go out and reach to them further. I realized that I didn't actually have an authentic relationship with them. It was only conditional. Once they were out of sight, they were out of mind. And church, that's not how it should be. The third challenge I want to pose to us today for an authentic community is an authentic purpose. Church, why do you do what you do? Why do you come to KCC? Is it because you want to be under the label of a multi-ethnic church? Or is it because you truly believe in the vision and the mission of our church? For those of you who don't know, the KCC vision is that we aspire to live as disciple-making, leader-raising Christ followers who multiply healthy, multi-ethnic church expressions around the world. Do you believe in that? Is that something you actually want? Because what I've realized is that the vision of the church may not bring you here, but it's the vision of the church that will keep you here. I think even in my own life, the way I ended up at KCC is that my girlfriend at the time was on the worship team, so I decided to join with her. But the reason I'm still here to this day is because I believe in the vision of the church. It was the vision that kept me. So I ask you, why do you do what you do? What is your purpose for being here? If you came to KCC because there was a ministry that resonated with you, that you loved, what are you going to do if that ministry goes away? Are you also going to leave? Are you going to stay because you believe in the vision of the church? If you came to KCC because you like the music that we do, if it changes, are you going to leave also? Or are you going to stay because you believe in the vision? The vision doesn't have to bring us here, but it is the vision that will keep us here. So I ask you, think about this. Why do you do what you do? What is your purpose here at KCC? Because the reality is that as we started down this multi-ethnic journey, there were challenges at first. And there still are, but we kind of have taken our foot off the gas. We got comfortable as a body, if I'm honest. Because it's not easy. It's not easy to have people question what you're doing all the time. That have people that are so about pouring into themselves and their own selfishness and their own egos in church that they don't want to do this multi-ethnic, this giving up idea of worship. Giving up their own preferences. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that mixed vision that God has put on his heart for this church, that if you either have to get on board or not, because we are moving whether you like it or not. We are moving forward with the vision that God has put on our hearts. We know it's not easy, but we trust that we can be a true multi-ethnic church with authentic community if we trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the reality is that if you do not believe in the vision of KCC, you will not have a fun time in the future. Because you will be stretched, you will be uncomfortable. And that can either draw you closer to God and what we're doing here, or it will push you away. And I'm not trying to anger anybody, but I'm just speaking the truth. God is going to push us because we are going into unknown territory. We are going into things that we know will make us uncomfortable, but we believe that it is worth it. We believe that this is the vision that God has for this church. So what would I look like if I go against it? What am I even doing? I'm hurting more than helping. So we have to have the same vision. We have to believe in the vision. We have to have an authentic purpose. And I would love each and every one of you to be on board. I would love to see all of us grow closer together as one body. But the reality is that it's not easy for everyone. Not everyone is wired to do it. But if you have any hesitation, bring that before the Lord. Say, Lord, stretch me. Help me to release this tension, these preferences that I have, so I can truly engage with my brothers and sisters in an authentic community. I don't want it to just be circumstantial. I want to truly see you move in a way that only you can. Because when we stick with our preferences and what works for us, what we're basically saying is, God, I want you to work in my strength, not in your strength. I don't want to see the impossible happen because that takes glory off of me. We want to give all glory to God. I want us all to be on this journey together. This quarantine has been such a blessing because basically it's like our church is resetting. The way that we worship, what it looks like, how we gather, God is using this opportunity to push it and say, once we are able to be clear and we're going full bore, we're moving. We're going towards multi-ethnic churches. We're planting multi-ethnic churches all around the world. We are continuing to strive to our authentic community. And we're going with the pedal to the metal. We're not stopping. And I'm excited to see how God is going to move as we put this plan into motion. So as I go into this time of closing, I'm going to invite the worship team back up. And we're going to go with time into reflection and sing a song together. But I have a simple question for you today. It's a simple question, but it takes deep thought. And that's this. Do you want to be a part of an authentic community or a conditional one? Don't answer it too quickly. Really dwell on those thoughts. Do you know what I'm asking you? Do you want a community that pushes you and stretches you and may not be your preference every week, but that allows you to bless your brothers and sisters in a tremendous way, allows you to have tough conversations, a community that makes you go out of your comfort zone and spend time with people that you may not ever spend time with, to hear views that you may never agree with? Is that what you really want? Do you want a community that has a purpose and a vision and it is set on that vision and it is not going left to right, it is staying straight, that is pushing towards multi-ethnic, authentic community? Is that what you really want? Ask that question. Because I don't want to take any chances of not preparing us for what is ahead of us. Satan does not want this conversation to happen right now. We've seen more than ever that Satan wants division in our streets. He wants us to give up and say, that's right. See, the rest of the world is just proving what we already knew, that we cannot come together despite our racial differences or our socioeconomic differences. It can't happen. That is the plant, that is the seed that Satan wants to plant in our minds. And if I'm honest, I know it's there right now. Some of you have come here this morning with doubts about what God can do. You've come here with doubts about the vision of this church. Is it just a pipe dream? I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not, church. It's just not easy. It takes sacrifice, repentance, but it is so worth it. To just be able to experience a glimpse of what comes in Revelation, that is what we're striving for. And it is attainable, but not in our own strength. Only through the strength of God Almighty. So as I go into prayer and we go into this song, think on that question. What community do you want to be a part of? Because here at KCC, we are going to be an authentic community. That is what we're striving for. That is what God has put in our heart. Will you join us on the journey? Will you come with us for the ride? You join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for today. God, I thank you that even in the midst of tragedy and racism and hatred and murder, you're still holy. You're still good. Nothing's changed. God, I pray for the seeds of doubt the enemy has planted, that you would remove those and that we would remember who you are and your promises, that even in our darkest hour, you shine for the whole world to see. And God, I pray that you bless us as a church. May we be that shining light that shines in the midst of all this negativity and evil, and we can show people that there is hope and there is a way. It's not easy. It might make you uncomfortable, but it'll stretch you and grow you to new heights and grow into a deeper relationship with our Lord God. Lord, that's what we seek today. So that I pray that everyone here today that can hear my voice, that they wrestle with that question. What kind of community do they want? Because, Lord, we've been able to hide it in the past. We've been able to put on a facade and go about our day, but, Lord, no more. It's coming to the surface. No longer will we just talk about it, but we will be about it also. So what are we going to do? God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in each and every one of us. Convict us, Lord, of where we have failed, our shortcomings. Give us strength and power, because this is attainable, but only with you. Cannot do it on our own. By ourselves, it just leads to selfishness and hatred, because we only care about ourselves. But Lord, let us care for others as you do, as we are all made in the image of God. So Lord, as we go into this song, bless us, Father. May your Holy Spirit move in this place today and convict us and prepare us for the journey you have for our church in the coming days. We love you, Lord. We thank you for who you are and all that you've done. We ask this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen.